There's a little lead, there's a lead in there. Yeah.
Step into the water. Wade out a little bit deeper. Wet your feet in the water of his love. Oh, step into the water. Wade out a little bit deeper. Come join angels singing praises to the Lamb of God. It's time we, the people, stand up for what is right. It's time we squared our soldiers back, raised our swords to fight. For the Bible is my weapon, and the Spirit is my shield. The church needs more of its members to be workers in the field. Step into the water, wade out a little bit deeper. Wet your feet in the water of his love. Oh, step into the water, wade out a little bit deeper. Come join angels singing praises to the Lamb of God. To the Lamb of God. There's victory for the Christian who walks the narrow way. There is better prize appointed for the soul who does not stray. Oh, I want to live for Jesus and be all that I should be, so that I can rest with him forever, live eternally. Step into the water, wade out a little bit deeper. Wet your feet in the water of his love. Oh, step into the water, wade out a little bit deeper. Come join angels singing praises to the Lamb of God. Step into the water, wade out a little bit deeper. Wet your feet in the water of his love. Oh, step into the water, wade out a little bit deeper. Come join angels singing praises to the Lamb of God. Come join angels singing praises to the Lamb of God.
Amen. Isn't it good to be in God's house this morning?
Wow. Sounds like we had all the Oak Ridge boys here this morning. Yeah. He sang all the parts. Yeah. From high to deep, from low. Yeah. So we're good to see everybody here this morning. Kind of recognize, realize our setup here is a little bit different. There's going to be a baptism this morning. Praise the Lord. Don't see the podium and things in front of you, that's so you could see the baptism. And that's something we want people to take part in. Baptism itself does not save us. But boy, it sure gives us a testimony. It says we're going down with the Lord and we're coming up with Jesus. You know, we're going to be with him. We're going that dead to the old man and up with the new man. So praise the Lord, what a testimony that means. Or woman. Yeah. So we're glad you're here to be a part of that this morning. You know, yesterday I kind of feel funny standing up here without something in front of me. Sneak over here and get over behind that thing. But, you know, yesterday I had the opportunity and the pleasure of going to the air show over at Dayton with my son and their family and Larry Lonis, a friend of ours from church here and from just for a long time friend. We went there, perfect day for an air show. Beautiful day for an air show. The sky was clear, you know, just a severe clear, just beautiful up there. The skies and the temperature and just everything was so perfect for an air show. And we had an opportunity to see some of the mightiest aircraft in our military today. I mean, we saw, you know, of course, the Blue Angels did their demonstration flights, but we saw the F-15 demonstration, the F-16 demonstration. We seen the Navy, or excuse me, the Marine Corps helicopters. I mean, the Army, their mightiest weaponry was there. The military, the Air Force, the Marine Corps, the Navy, all had their mightiest airplanes and things there. And you hear that roar, and you just say it's a sound of freedom. When you hear that roar goes across there, and you sing, you know, thank God we have this that has protected and projected freedom around the world. That's been our opportunity. But I get to thinking about that, and you know, all that weaponry across the world, all the different armies of the world, all the nations of the world with all this weaponry, one day the mighty army of God is going to come down, and they're going to be like pea shooters. They won't be able to do nothing. You know, that mighty army, God will come down and call up his church, and he'll come down, then he'll set up his kingdom on this earth. Amen. And there ain't nobody going to stop him because he said he would do it. It's been proclaimed by God, and it's ours to hold on to. We can know that. Well, we're going to enjoy this baptism here. If you're ready, Pastor, we'll turn this over to you. And he got his short pants on. I hope y'all don't see this. This is, anyway, I told him I was going to wear a flowery shirt with the palm trees and stuff, and invite everybody up for the pool party. But I thought that might be too, maybe a little bit sacrilegious. I don't know. But anyway, we are glad you're here. And baptism is a serious thing. It is it's a testimony. It's a time we just say that, you know, the Lord commands, be saved and be baptized. But you can be saved without being baptized. You can go to heaven without being baptized. I realize that. But the testimony you give while you're here on earth, what it does for your own soul's relationship with the Lord, is a wonderful thing. So we're glad it's happening today. Jim, you're glad you're being with us.
Well, good morning, everyone. Well, Ginger, you want to come up forward? Ginger's going to be baptized today, and we know that baptism doesn't save us. It's an outward sign of a spiritual work, of something new that's happened inside, and a new birth in Jesus Christ. And it tells everybody we've taken Christ as our Savior and Lord, and our purpose is to always obey Him. So this morning, you're going to ask a couple of questions, and you can wait till the end to answer. Do you believe in God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? You believe that Jesus Christ, the Son, suffered in your place on the cross, and that he died and rose again, that he now sits at the Father's right hand. Do you believe in the Holy Bible as the Word of God? And have you accepted Jesus as your Savior? And do you wish to be baptized today as a public profession of your faith?
Yes.
I just wanted you to hear that she said that. So we'll head to the baptistry. She has her maids here waiting for her. We're trying something different here today. We have a chair down in there, so she doesn't have to bend over so far. You like my white socks? My kids love those.
You disappear for a minute, that means you pulled me under. It's actually pretty warm.
It is.
Can you see her? Can you see her there? She's
I'm
right
here.
There.
I'm here.
It's actually pretty nice in here. We're probably just going to stay and do the sermon from here this morning. So, Ginger, this is the proclamation of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And as you go down in the water, the death with Christ and life of the new spirit. So, you want to plug your nose? Baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. I'll move this over. Colder over there for some reason. Romans 6:4 says, by our baptism we are buried with him and share in his death, in order that we're raised with Christ by the power of the Father. So Ginger, your baptism today represents an outward sign of an inward work, signifies your faith in Christ, because your faith in him, you have a promise for heaven. How did you get taller than me all of a sudden?
On the step.
That baptism must have been a miraculous thing for you. So we have new life in Christ, and your faith has a promise in heaven. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. Thanks for Ginger, for her baptism. We pray you be with her, Lord, as this is her public witness of her new life in Christ. May she be an example to her family and to her friends, and to us here at the church, as we're a family together, to be with her, Lord, to help her along the way, to give her strength and encouragement. And thank you, Lord, for what you've done in her life, that she's accepted you as her Lord and Savior. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Just don't fall.
Okay.
Amen and amen. Amen. Isn't that a great thing? Wow. I was baptized when I was 8. I was scared to death of water. My dad had a history of throwing me in the deep end of the lake. I grew up in Michigan, and we went. But the Lord, I survived. But you know, it's real when the Lord convicts you to be baptized. I remember 8 years old sitting in the front of that church, and the Lord led me to say, you need to be baptized. You need to make a statement. Amen. It's great to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Would you stand this morning? Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Redeemed us this morning.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. His child and forever I am. Mm-hmm.
It's the song of our Redeemer, rising from the African plain. It's the song of hope forgiven, drowning out the Amazon rain. The song of ancient believers, filled with God's holy fire. It's every tribe, every tongue, every nation, a love song born of a grateful heart. It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, He reigns, He reigns. It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, He reigns, He reigns. Let it rise above the four winds, caught up in the heavenly sound. Let praises echo from the towers of cathedrals to the faithful gathered around.
Of all the songs come from the dawn of creation, some were meant to persist. Of all the bells rung from a thousand steeples, none rings truer than this. It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, He reigns, He reigns. It's all God's children singing glory, hallelujah, He reigns, He reigns. And all the powers of darkness tremble at what they just heard. Cause all the powers of darkness can't drown out a single word. It's all God's children singing glory. Hallelujah, He reigns, He reigns. It's all God's children singing glory, glory. Hallelujah, He reigns, He reigns. It's all God's children singing glory, glory. Hallelujah, He reigns, He reigns. It's all God's children singing glory.
God's in charge, isn't He, this morning? Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Oh, I'm sorry. That's me. Let's read together. Oh, let's stand, shall we, for the scripture? Sorry about that. Got lost in my own thoughts here. 1 Chronicles 29, 11a. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. If that doesn't bring gratitude, I don't know what does.
You did not wait for me to draw near to you, but you clothed yourself in frail humanity. You did not wait for me cry out to you, but you let me hear your voice calling me, and I'm forever grateful to you, and I'm forever.
wait for me to draw near to you. But you clothe yourself with frail humanity. You did not wait for me to cry out to you, but you let me hear your voice calling me.
And I'm forever grateful to you. I'm forever grateful for the cross. I'm forever grateful to you that you came to seek and save the lost. I'm forever grateful to you. I'm forever grateful for the cross. I'm forever grateful to you that you came to seek and save the lost. That you came to seek and save the lost.
Father, your love is amazing. You want us to experience your love and your salvation. We just praise you for what you're going to do in this service yet today. Lord, we love you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Well, good morning again. Without my shorts on this morning, so. What's the Lord been doing this week with your life, your family?
He's always there.
He's always there. Hearing every prayer, faithful and true. Pat's here. Isabella's here. We haven't seen her since here. And William's here too, of course.
This is the first Sunday I've been back since vacation Bible school, and I just really want to thank all the workers and the people who put in so much time and sat at the desks and took in the children, and just to see the kids having fun in the house of God and hearing the word of God and your creativity, the little puppets, the crafts, the different things that I saw you guys doing with those kids. It was such a joy. And I believe that we had some children that made some commitments, first-time commitments to the Lord. We didn't really get their name. We saw some hands go up. So be praying for every one of those children who came. I think at the height, we had maybe 27 children here on, the second day. But God was proclaimed in this place for Vacation Bible School, and I give him all the praise.
I just am awed at God's faithfulness at times. Last weekend, we had traveled to Michigan and the other land there. No, but we traveled up to Michigan. We went to Indiana first and gathered Dave's dad and mom. Dave's dad, I don't know how many of you know if Dave said this or not, he was a pastor. And his mother had a good friend who she met in college, and her name was Eileen. And Eileen married Rich, and Rich was also a pastor up in Michigan. So they were both pastors. And they both had four children, and they were good friends, the family friends, for years. Well, they had not connected for years and years. They had been friends for 70 years. And because Eileen was in Dave's mom's wedding, his parents' wedding. And but they had that bond together as both pastors' families, having four children. So they would connect through Dave's, mainly their elementary years and into the teen years. And so after many, many, many years here, reconnected as families. They have lost, the other family has lost one child to a car accident, but the other three children were there. And it was an awesome time to just connect and share, because they were both all PK kids. And there's a lot of things that go into being a pastor's kid. So they, you know, talked about their experiences and they connected, and their son's name is David. Just like David. I think they're, are you guys the same age, Dave? Yeah. So it was just an awesome thing to see God's faithfulness, and even though there's, you know, life struggles and things like that, and Rich, the father, was not able to be there because he's actually was in the hospital with pneumonia. So, and there were some complications there. But just to see God's faithfulness in ministry and in caring for them through their needs and things like that. So anyway, it was just a neat experience for me because I was on the outside looking in and getting to know these people. So it was just neat for me to see that.
My brother-in-law passed away suddenly this week. So he and my sister were divorced at the time, but only for a few years. So if you can remember her, her name's Ruth. And then my nephew Jackson is in med school. And so in the middle of taking tests and all that, he's dealing with this. So.
My husband's oldest sister, who's 82, is in the hospital. They don't know exactly what it is. She was in a week ago with a UTI. Now she's so weak she can't hardly get up. And they're going to have to put her in rehab. They don't know what they're going to have to do. But she's been failing for a long time. So we'd appreciate it. Her name is Rita. We'd appreciate prayers for her.
Good morning, everybody. I'm on the wrong side of the church this morning, it looks like. I'm usually over there. Anyhow, I just thought we'd mix it up a little, and Steve started walking over there, and I'm like, no, I'm over here. But we're creatures of habit, aren't we? Anyhow, I just wanted to share, Wednesday night, Steve and I went to the West Broad Nazarene because we thought they were having a Bible study. They usually do. But not during the summer, we found, and they had a really nice ice cream social. So we got to meet a few of the people and their new pastor, Josue. But he had Ho 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 for his name for the kids because his name was Josue. So that was very unique. But the biggest thing was, as we were talking, we were visiting with an elderly couple, and one of the ladies said, you might know this man, he probably dug your well. So then we're like, well, who are you? And he told us, and for sure, he was the one who dug our well almost 30 years ago. And it took 5 times to dig this well. The first well digger bailed out, and then we got R.C. Berry, who came in and stuck with us till we got the well. So his name is Keith Goebel? Yes, Keith Goebel. And so what a great guy, Christian man, who stuck with us. Our well's 200 feet deep, but we got the well after 5 times. So praise the Lord, and we got to meet this man before maybe he goes out in eternity or we do, but someday we'll all be together. And the other thing is we did visit Ernie, and he was doing pretty good. He said actually he had no pain, which was wonderful. So we want to thank the Lord for that. And it wasn't his arm that he uses. It was his left arm, so at least he has his good arm. And then they did move him to a rehab place off of Dublin Granville Road. So just keep him in your prayers, but his spirits seem pretty high, and he's doing good.
And if you try to call him and he can't answer the phone, he has a hard time using his one hand to use his flip phone. So that's what he told me, if I don't answer, because I can't flip it with one hand.
So I have a prayer request and a praise. I don't know if you guys remember, about a year ago, I asked for prayer for my sister-in-law who was in the hospital, and they didn't know why she wasn't recovering from the anesthesia. She'd had an endoscopy done, and she got to the point she was so bad they had brought in hospice. And today she's walking. And she's been home for several months, but God's just been working on her, and she's gaining strength and being able to get up on a walker and walk just a little bit, and praise God. And I just want to ask prayer for Sandy Hammond, who's starting radiation this week.
Okay, let's pray this morning. Father, thanks for bringing us here this morning, for allowing us to be in your house, for this baptism, Lord, for the proclamation of faith in you. And Lord, for all these requests, you know the different requests for family and for friends and for those who just don't know you that maybe we just met. But we pray for healing in situations that need healing. We think of Sandy, Lord, starting this radiation, that everything's going to be fine with that. And we think of Pat with her shoulder healing up. Think of Ernie in the hospital. Think of Lois Proper, who I got a chance to see this week, who's declining a bit here. And Lord, for Donna and Dee, and just for different ones, Lord, that we usually pray for. But Lord, for these requests that were made this morning by each and every one, for sisters and family and brothers and different ones, husbands probably even, and kids, and that weren't even mentioned. But we pray for all these different requests. Lord, you know the answers they need. You know the timing that it needs to be done in. So we just ask for your encouragement as we see prayers answered, as we share results and give praise for things that have been done, like Holly's sister, Lord, was able to get up and walk around when they thought she wasn't even going to make it. So pray you continue to be with them, be with those who can't be with us this morning, Lord, because they're visiting or because they're sick or maybe they're out of town somewhere, wherever they may be, but you'll be with them as well. Think of Tina with the pain she's been having in her shoulder and neck, that you would help deal with that. For those who have trouble sleeping, for those who have issues, Lord, with finances, and those who have issues with relationships, those who have issues with trusting you and maybe have walked away, but we just pray that you'll bring them back to you this morning. Thanks for being with us here in this house as we look at your word. Thanks for the music you're providing for us, Lord, and the fellowship with each other, that we're a family, we with Fran as well, and Ernie as he's been moved to a different location. And Lord, just the other requests that have been made this morning, but just be with us. We can represent you in all our ways. In your name, amen. Thank you. wanted to show that Dave was multi-talented. If you need a moving person, give him a call. Well, we had a baptism this morning with Ginger. Pretty exciting for me anyway and for her. Hopefully she didn't feel like this guy. So today at church, a guy in a suit tried to drown me. And I kid you not, my family just stood there and took pictures. So some people ask, you know, what is baptism? Why do we do it? Well, it's a sign and seal of our faith in the gospel. It tells people that we've accepted Christ. It's our public witness. It's a sign of our faith in regeneration. We can be made new, a new person, a new creation. It's a sign of the assurance of our salvation in through Christ, that it's through him that we're saved. It's a sign that your name is written in the book of life. It's a sign of your faith in eternal glory that you have a home in heaven. And also, baptism doesn't say, but it's a sign of faith, repentance, forgiveness, adoption, regeneration, but not necessarily in that order. So baptism shows you accept and believe and have been in all those different things. But the scripture talks about baptism being in water and the Spirit, being baptized into Christ's death, being baptized with fire. But this morning we're going to talk about baptism with water, water baptism. And you've heard some of this stuff before because you can't change water baptism. It's going to be the same thing, right? But we're going to hopefully cover a couple things you haven't heard before. Talking to my wife this week, she said, "Have you talked about Noah?" And I'm like, "What?" So we're going to talk about Noah this morning a little bit. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 20 through 22. Says, "To those who were disobedient long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah, while the ark was being built, in it only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from your body, but the pledge of a clear conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand, with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him." So Noah's family was saved through water, weren't they? We know the water doesn't save us, but they were saved through water because they didn't go down and get drowned. They didn't get killed like the rest of people. But it showed their trust in the Lord, showed their trust in Noah. Noah was told to build the ark, and they believed, and they trusted him. They helped him, and they got on the ark, and the rest of people thought he was foolish, and they didn't make it. So they were making a public declaration, literally, about their faith, weren't they? People saw him get on the ark. Probably pointed at him and jeered and said, "You're stupid, what are you doing? There's no water here," and everything else. A baptism which corresponds to this, it says, now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Christ. So what does a good conscience mean? It means you're not always worried about things, you're not always thinking about what you've done wrong and all these things. It gives you a chance to have a clear conscience knowing that you're right with God. Your relationship with him is where it should be. We talk about communion a lot of times, and it says you shouldn't take unworthily. You're supposed to examine yourself and make sure there's nothing between you and the Lord before you take communion. So you have a clear conscience, a good conscience. And we know it's because of the resurrection of Christ. That's what saves us. If Christ hadn't risen from the dead, Christianity would be nothing, would it? It wouldn't mean anything. But because he broke the power of sin and death, then we have that hope in him. So if you look at this, the passage talks about Noah, but how do his flood waters correspond to baptism? When the earth was flooded, people either lived or they died, and there was a judgment. If you didn't follow God and said you weren't in the ark, you weren't going, then you died. So the water, when you're baptized in water, represents sin being washed away, doesn't it? You go down as the old and you come up as the new. That's what the representation is. But it's an inward work, isn't it? The outward doesn't really do anything for you. It's something to remember. It's something you went through. It's an experience where you're baptized, but it doesn't change you. The inward change comes first. So the earth being flooded in Noah's time revealed who actually followed God and who didn't. You can be in a crowd and you can't tell who believes in Christ, can you? You can't look at people and say, oh, they can say anything they want to say, and it may not be true because you don't know their heart. But in this case, you literally knew who believed in God and who didn't. Those who got on the ark were the ones who were saved. So the correlation is that water saved those eight physical lives by keeping the ark afloat above the deluge. In a sense, they were saved by water. And it corresponds to baptism because putting faith in Christ, we receive forgiveness of sins. So when you put your faith in Christ, your sins are forgiven. You escape the judgment, saving your spiritual life. So this body's not going to be in heaven, is it? You're not going to have the body you have now in heaven. Some of you are saying, thank the Lord. Right? You're going to have a new body. Salvation is not a work, but a matter of faith alone. Noah didn't build an ark and then decide to have faith, did he? He had faith and then he built the ark. He had faith that helped him to complete it. And just like the ark saved Noah as a result of faith, baptism is a physical sign that you already have faith in God. So today, water baptism means for a believer, you're making a public pledge. As you go down in the water, you symbolize the death in Christ, and as you rise, you're symbolizing your new life. Does that mean you weren't a Christian before that? No, but that means you're given a public profession, saying that I want to show people that I'm a Christian. I want to make it my public profession. And sometimes people write in their Bible, they'll write things in there and say, this is the day that I was baptized, and this is where it took place. This is when I accepted Christ. And why do you do those kind of things? So you can look back on it later on when somebody questions you and says, did you ever really receive Christ? Yeah, I did, right here. It was at, 19, whatever. Most of us are 19, right? None of us are 18-something yet here? No. 1900 still? Okay. What? Some 2000s. I'm saying nobody's in the 1800s when they accepted Christ here. Romans 6:4 says, which I read before, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may have a new life. So we have a hope, don't we, of a new life? If this is as good as it gets, it wouldn't be very good, would it? With all the sickness, with the disease, with the crime, with all things that are happening, all the bullying that takes place, that's the murders, if this is as good as it gets, it's not going to be very good. It's got to get better than this. But I've said several times before, if you're not a Christian, this is as good as it gets for you. It only gets worse, right? But as a Christian, it gets better. So this morning, Matthew 3, verses 11 through 17, gives an example of water baptism. John says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It's proper for us to do this to fulfill all the righteousness. And then John consented, and soon after Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. In that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love, with whom I'm well pleased. So what's happening basically in John chapter 3? John's already at the Jordan baptizing people, right? They're repenting, then he's baptizing them. It doesn't say he baptized them, then they repented. Repentance comes before baptism. You're a Christian before you get baptized. They're declaring their devotion to God. So if you're in a big group of people getting baptized, they're going to know you got baptized. It's not something you hide and do somewhere they can't see you. Then John, who's Jesus' cousin, Jesus came to be baptized by him, but John didn't want to do it because he knew that he was baptizing the chosen one, the Son of God, the Messiah. He's like, I can't baptize you. You don't even need to be baptized. But what did Jesus say? You need to do it to fulfill all righteousness, and it was right to do in obedience to God. So John baptized Jesus that day. So why did he do it? Attica School gives five reasons. First of all, to identify himself with sinners so we could follow his example. He's saying, as a sinner, this is what you need to do, be baptized. I'm going to do it to show you what you should do. So sometimes we do that, don't we? When we're showing somebody something, I'm going to show you how to do this. You don't put somebody in the kitchen and say, okay, you just go ahead and bake a cake. You're like, well, how do I do it? Just do it. Just bake the cake. No, you say, here's the instructions. This is what you do. I'm going to show you. You break the egg. You put in your flour and all your other ingredients, right? Then you set the oven and you check it with your toothpick or whatever you do. So you show them as an example what to do. And then they know how it's to be done. Second thing is to be identified by John so that others would see that John's words were true. When he was saying, this is the coming Messiah, basically they could see this. That's true. This is who this is. So John's word had some backing when he did this. Third thing, to be introduced to the crowd as the Messiah. So John was telling him who this was. He's my cousin, but he's the Messiah. They're probably wondering, how can that be? But they would find out, wouldn't they, as they followed Christ and listened to him, to fulfill all righteousness, to symbolize his death and resurrection. So Jesus going under the water symbolizes death and burial, while coming up out of the water symbolizes his resurrection. So when he's baptized, it's a symbol of death of the old and life of the new and dedication to God. The next one, to show that he was ready to start his work and anointed by God as he calls him his son. So Jesus came up, right? Then he was going to begin his work. And God said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. And they saw the dove light on him. So they could actually see a physical reaction to what's happening. And to acknowledge the work of John as his forerunner. So Vance Haver said it like this: we may never be martyrs, but we can die to self, to sin, to the world, to our plans and ambitions. That's the significance of baptism, when we die with Christ and rose to new life. So you're saying, I'm starting a new life. I'm on a new path here. Maybe these things were important to me before, but they're not important to me now. What's important to me is what God wants me to do. Where should I be in my life? What's my career? Where am I falling? Who am I going to marry? Who am I not going to marry? Right? Where am I going to go? What movies am I not going to watch? What songs will I listen to? What will I not listen to? Those are choices that we make. So in a way, baptism symbolizes dying to ourselves and living to God. But why do we use water? Why can't we use something else? Can you baptize people in something else, like milk? I think it has a little different connotation, doesn't it? So they want to use water because water is seen as cleansing or purifying. Leviticus 13 through 16, it talks about washing with water to remove one's uncleanness. I thought the interesting thing was it doesn't say soap. It says wash with water, doesn't it? Because water is seen as pure and clean. Something that washes away uncleanness. So anything else would be insufficient because it doesn't symbolize cleansing like water does. How do you feel when you see pure, clean water? Somebody gives you a nice glass of water and it's clear, as opposed to a glass of water that's got some little things floating around in it. Which one would you want to have? The clear and pure water, right? So John baptized those who repented, and Jesus himself was baptized in water, so it only seems right to follow his example. If Christ was baptized, shouldn't we be baptized? In Acts chapter 10, starting in 47, it says, can anyone withhold water for baptizing from these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? So there were Jews and Gentiles, weren't there? They're saying if they received Christ like we did, shouldn't they be baptized? Doesn't matter if they're a Jew or a Gentile. Peter was talking about Gentiles that have been saved. Said, who can withhold water from baptizing them? So we can surmise that God wants all of us to be baptized as a public witness. But what does the word baptism mean? According to Tim O'Hearn, the definition of the Greek word baptize is to immerse, like immersing cloth in a dye. So when you guys dip your cookie in your milk, are you baptizing it? Not unless you put it all the way in, right? Put a little part in, that's not really baptizing. It means to immerse. So you should be immersing it in. In almost every case, the word is baptizo, which means to immerse, to submerge, or become overwhelmed. So when it talks about baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's an overwhelming that we'll talk about another time. So the scripture indicates that baptism is an immersion, and for our purposes, it's water baptism. So here's some examples of people that were baptized. John 3:23, John was baptizing in the Jordan near Salim because there was much water there. Some people think it has to be running water. It doesn't say that anywhere, does it? It just says water. When Philip baptized the Ethiopian, they went both down into the water, which would be unnecessary if all Philip had to do was pour water on him. When John the Apostle was baptized, it was likely immersion in water. And according to the scriptures, it seems like immersion or dunking is what it should be. But what about those people who can't be immersed or dunked? If we do pouring or sprinkling, are they not baptized? No, I think they're still baptized, right? They're just not dunked in the water. They're still baptized. The water's still over them to represent being clean. They're doing a public witness. So they're still having the baptism. Logical question we have to answer, which people ask, and we talked about this morning a little bit, is does baptism save you? If you're baptized, are you going to heaven? If you're not baptized, are you going to heaven? If you accept Christ, that's the main point, isn't it? If you accept Christ, you're going to heaven. Baptism doesn't save you, but it's your public profession. It's a highly debated issue, but I don't think the scripture says be baptized and be saved. It says repent and be baptized. Repent and be saved, and then be baptized. Acts 16:31, the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved. Romans 10:9, if we confess with our mouth and believe in our hearts that Jesus is Lord, we'll be saved. John 1:12, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Do any of these verses say you have to be baptized to be saved? It says believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke 23 is one that I look at a lot of times, or the thief on the cross. Jesus, he says, remember me, and Jesus says, you know, today I'll be with me in paradise. He didn't say, get off the cross and be baptized, and then you'll be with me in paradise. He says, today you'll be with me in paradise, because the thief is basically recognizing him, repenting of his sins. But in this case, there was no water. So I would say if a person asks Christ into their life and they haven't been baptized, they're still going to go to heaven. The baptism is for ourselves, and it's for others that are around us to see that we've accepted Christ as a public witness. So why should a person be baptized? A couple reasons. First of all, Jesus told us to do it, and he did it as an example. So he did it, and he showed us that we should be baptized. The second thing is, it's an outward sign of an inward work. We're telling people something inside of me has changed. I'm not the same as I was before. I've accepted Christ. I'm a new person, and I'm going to be baptized just as a significant act of my proclamation that I'm going to live for Christ. Third thing is, God tells us to be baptized. Matthew 28:19. Where he says, go make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I think that so people can see who the Christians are, so they can see the ones that are saved. John R. Rice says, God's people should be baptized because God commanded it, not because some church requires it. Some churches require it, don't they? We don't require it. It's your choice if you want to be baptized. But some churches say, you're not saved if you're not baptized. But I don't think that's scriptural. The last thing, it gives us opportunity to testify for God as to why we're baptized. 1 John 5:11 says, and this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life. This life is in his Son. When something good happens to us, we want to know want the whole world to know. And if we're given a special award, we tell everybody, don't we? But do we tell everybody when we're saved or baptized? Do we tell people, or we just like keep it quiet? Oh, people won't baptize on Sunday. It'd be a thing that you would want to share. Hey, I'm going to heaven. I've accepted Christ. I'm a light on a hill. So who should be baptized? Anybody that's repented of their sins and accepted Christ. Where do I get the idea from? Acts 2:38. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So baptism takes place after salvation. It's a witness of a work. We can simply repent, and nobody would know about it. But if you have a baptism, that's a public witness. Would we baptize somebody who's not a Christian? No, why would you? Otherwise, like I said before, you're just getting wet. It doesn't mean anything if you're getting baptized and you're not saved. There's no reason to baptize them because they haven't accepted Christ. You could baptize them 100 times, it wouldn't make a difference. If they haven't accepted Christ, it wouldn't make a difference. Charles Spurgeon said, a man who knows that he is saved by believing in Christ does not, when he is baptized, lift his baptism into a saving ordinance. That means he's not going to say, baptism saved me. In fact, he's the very best protester against that mistake because he holds that he has no right to be baptized until he's saved. So what if you've been a Christian for a long time and never been baptized? Can you still be baptized? Yes. What if you're 95, never been baptized? Can you be baptized at 95? Sure you can. What if you're 2 years old? It's called a dedication. There's a difference, right? When I was dedicated as a baby, I didn't know what was going on. But when I get baptized, it's my choice. I know I'm proclaiming Christ as my Savior. A dedication for a baby is for the parents, not for the child. So if you say, I was dedicated when I was like 3 months old, well, that's not really a baptism for you. You got wet, it didn't save you. It was for your parents to say, I'm going to raise them as a Christian. There comes a point when you choose to be baptized yourself. I got baptized when I was in high school. I remember it so vividly because they had a baptistry like this, except they put a plastic runner down there. And can you want to guess what happened? I slipped and fell down into the baptistry, so I remember that day very clearly, what we did. But I still know that I was baptized and where it took place and all those things. I remember in Australia when we had baptisms there in the ocean, trying to baptize people, and you'd be doing this stuff. And he had to wait for the wave to go down before you could dunk him, because otherwise it picked him back up. We had some great times there. Is baptism something to be afraid of? No. If you're afraid of going under the water, can you still be baptized? Yeah, we talked about it. Sprinkling or pouring, you can do that. But the most important part of being baptized is being able to make a public profession that Jesus Christ is my Lord, He saved me, and I'm going to heaven one day. Can baptism be fun? Sure, they can be fun. I thought we had fun this morning. No tragedies, but you watch some of those baptisms online, and some of the guys get pulled underwater and all kinds of things. One of my favorite ones that I saw, that I didn't bring the video, but this little kid was there, and the pastor was talking about he was going to baptize this little kid. He kept going on, and the kid just finally dunked himself. And he said, I did it, I did it. And everybody clapped. So think of baptism as the next step of faith and witness for the Lord. It's you saying, I'm all in for Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, for Ginger, for the baptism this morning, for the public profession of faith, that we get to see people proclaiming you again, Lord, in that act of baptism. It helps to lift us up as a church, to encourage us, Lord. Pray you be with her this morning. Give her your strength and guidance and encouragement and the joy in her life. And we just give you the praise for all that you've done for us and for your word. In your name, amen.
He is able. Do you know the chorus? He is able, more than able. Let's stand, shall we, as we close out today. He is able, more than able, to accomplish what he was today. I'll sing it then, I guess, shall we? He is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. He is able. There it is. To do much more than I could ever dream. He is able, more than able, to make me what he wants me to be. Now that we have the words, let's sing it. Shall we sing it with me? He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. He is able, more than able, to do much more than I could ever dream. He is able, more than able, to make me what he wants me to be. Go forth this week knowing we got a God that can do more than we think. We don't have a small God today, okay? Sometimes we put him in a box and we say, well, he's going to help me with his, but this he can't handle this. God can handle anything. He's able to make a difference in your life this week. Go forth and serve the Lord. Amen. Thank you.